Grab your fork and grab your knife. Morning, afternoon, and night. Mama's recipe and mine. We're about to have a good time. Hey, sis, eat this. Hey, sis, eat this. Woohoo! Yeah.
Hey, sis.
Hey, sis.
Oh, hold on a second.
It's your birthday.
My birthday.
You don't give a fuck because it's your birthday.
That's right. That's right, girly. It's coming up. Can't avoid it. Just like taxes and death. You just can't avoid them.
Oh, hell no. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I know. Jason goes, what do you want to do for your birthday? I said, pretend like it's not happening like I do every year. I have like a hard time. I know you and Jason are like all out birthday celebrators, and I just want to like crawl into a hole when it's my birthday. I'm not a celebrator.
Well, that leads me to my question is what's been your best or most memorable fun birthday party you've ever had?
Oh, gosh.
I can go back to childhood if you want.
I mean, the first one that's popping to my mind that stands out is my surprise 30th that you and Jay threw. That was just like so fun at that nightclub in LA. And it was just wild and crazy. And I think it went until like 3 a.m. and it was really fun.
Oh,
that was
so
a good one. Yeah. And then you had the cake made with Lily the dog's face on it, which was all those touches were really fun. Yeah. I think that was probably the best. I love that one.
That was a really fun one.
I have to be honest, I feel so bad. I have not been cooking. Like this past week and a half, maybe two, like I've just been so busy that I have not had time to be my normal chef, my usual chef. And I was telling mom last night, yesterday I was talking to her, I'm like, oh, got to figure out what to make. It's Sunday, I got to make dinner. And I just don't have the energy. She's like, Courtney, you just have too much going on. You just need to not until that bat mitzvah's over. Just don't worry about it. And I was like, you're right. Take out.
I agree.
I know, but I feel bad for the pod. I feel like I need to be contributing recipes and doing, I'm going to make dinner tonight, but
oh God, don't do it on my account. I mean, or on our account.
You'll get mad at me if I don't provide you recipes or pictures.
That's not true. And like I said, we've got a lot, you know, banked up. We can reuse, reduce, recycle.
I mean, I have so much going on that I'm having like a few mom fails here and there that has been really kind of troublesome. So I have to tell you about this incident that happened last week. Oh boy.
How severe?
Well, you be the judge. Okay. So I was, because our audience knows we just relaunched. So we've had busy with that. I've been really involved in my other company, Five Little Monkeys. And also on top of that, planning the bat mitzvah. So there's just a lot going on in dance competition season.
Right.
So friend of mine, a neighbor called. There's a bunch of kids in my neighborhood that go to the same school as my daughter. And she said, do you happen to be doing the 4:15 pickup? That's the late pickup. I said, yeah, I actually am doing that today, picking up Vivi. She's like, can you pick up my son as well? Her little third grader. I was like, oh, sure. Yeah, and absolutely. No problem. So I put it in my calendar because like I don't really pick them up very often. Like
right.
It's very rare. So I get there and I'm on the phone going through carpool line, not paying attention. And I just pick up Vivi. And I head off to the grocery store to make dinner, to get stuff for dinner. So I'm standing in line at the grocery store and we see this woman with her three kids behind us. And they've got little uniforms on for like a different school. And we start talking and we know that school. So Vivi's like, oh, I wonder if she knows George, her friend. And I go, oh, ask. And so we were like, oh, you go to Calvary? Do you know George? And they were like, yeah, we know George, blah, blah, blah. So we start playing the name game. And here I am checking out. And the woman goes, do you know, and I'm not going to say the name on the private, do you know so-and-so? And I went, oh, yes, she's my, oh, my God, shit, I'm supposed to pick up Tate right now. Like, I scream in her face loud, like so loud in the grocery store, shit, I was supposed to pick up her son right now. And the woman looks at me like, she's like, Well, I'm glad you ran into us then. And I look around. There are five other moms in the grocery store with their kids, like giving me the stink eye, like the staring down, like, what the hell? And because I didn't realize that I screamed that loud. And you know how I can like get really, you know, I get kind of crazy. And So I go, and the checker looks at me with the biggest wide eyes. Are you okay? And I, paying, and I'm texting, Vivi here, pay. And I'm texting the mom. I forgot Tate, but I'm coming. I'm going right now. I'm driving back to the school. Well, the school closes at 5. It's like 4:45. It's a poor kid. So I'm like, oh my God. So I jump in the car, and the woman's like, must've thought I was complete lunatic. So I'm like, thank you for reminding me about them. So I get in the car. I'm calling the school. Nobody's answering. So my genius Vivi is like, well, text Miss Prieto, who's the one who like stays right. late at school. And I happen to have her cell phone. And so I texted her, and actually I called her. She goes, hi, honey, what's up? I go, is Tate there? And she goes, oh yeah, I think he's in the, you know, she calls on the walkie. I think he's in the front office. I said, oh my God, I'm supposed to pick him up. Oh my God, la, la, la. She's like, don't worry, I'm going to give him candy. He'll be fine. Just get here or whatever. So I get there. And finally the mom like responds to me. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I should have texted you to remind you. I'm like, no, it's my fault. I got him. you know? And so I'm on it. So I get there, and this little cute little blonde kid like runs. I know, I felt so bad, but I'd just come off my photo shoot. So I happen to have a lot of snacks in my car. So I'm throwing chocolate chip cookies at him, Doritos, anything he wants. I just, here you go. And he probably didn't even know, but the reality is I felt so bad. And I said to Vivi, because when I was thinking about all the women that were staring at me in the grocery store, and I said, Vivi, did I say shit out loud? And she goes, yes, mommy, you did. And I was like, oh my God. And it must have been so loud. So anyway, that was a rude awakening that like, okay, like I got a lot on my plate. I need to just like take a breath and slow down and, you know, get her done.
Oh my God. That's really funny.
It was funny. I mean, it's not fun. But then the mom was like, don't worry, it's okay. Our oldest son was once left at a baseball park at 9 o'clock at night and by himself without a cell phone. Oh, so I was like, okay, that's way worse. So she was like, it's fine. It'll be fine.
Oh my God.
Too much, right? So I got to just take pause.
Yeah, you do. Do I need to just do the podcast solo until after the bat mitzvah?
If you could just do it solo. What about you? Have you been cooking?
I did make corned beef and cabbage yesterday.
Oh, how was it?
It was good. Lance was out of town and he hates it. So I
made
asked
it for
Mama
yourself?
If she wanted to come over. Well, no, I made it for Mama and Dwight. I went to Sprouts and got the corned beef, and then I put it all in the Instant Pot. And it was super easy.
Well, it's just a beef brisket, right? Or did you buy it already seasoned? Yeah.
Well, it was a beef brisket, and then it came with like a little seasoning packet.
Yeah.
But it was really good. So that was pretty much the only thing I cooked. But Saturday night, we went over to our Italian friend, Daniele, mm-hmm. and his wife, Lauren. They had us over for dinner. And, you know, he's like major chef.
Yeah.
And so we get there, and he's got the bruschetta with the tomatoes and the one with the burrata. And, you know, he's like whipping out the olive oil that his mom brought over from Verona.
Oh, yeah, the smuggled olive oil.
Yes. And then this was so cute. They were like, we've been waiting for you guys to come over for dinner because we have a 52-month aged Parmesan.
Ooh.
Brick.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was so good. They were like, nobody would appreciate it like y'all would.
Did he make cacio pepe with it?
No, we just like cut off
pieces,
chunks. And he's like, you know, you can never slice Parmesan. You always chunk it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was delicious. And then he made a really interesting pasta that I want to recreate.
Okay.
So he did red bell peppers, onions, garlic, and did it all on the grill, like on his egg,
mm-hmm.
and smoked them.
Mm-hmm.
And then and tomatoes.
Okay.
And then you take that and you blend it all together.
Like a Romanesco sauce.
Yes. But like a pasta sauce, and then you like cook it down, and he did that. And then he did some lobby tails, just steamed lobster tails over pasta. And it was this very flavorful, smoky red pepper sauce. It was incredible.
They really pulled out all the stops for you guys. That sounds so nice.
I know. They're so fun.
Wish someone would cook for me like that.
I'll come cook for you.
Oh, good.
Okay, but the highlight, Lauren, his wife, she cooks, but not like he does, really. You know, she doesn't have as big of a passion for it. But she made a salad, and then I'm eating this, and she just did lemon and olive oil, and I'm like, what is in this? It's so delicious. She had toasted breadcrumbs.
Mm.
Instead of using croutons, she did panko seasoned breadcrumbs and a little bit of butter and toasted them up and put them on the salad.
Yeah.
It was so
I feel
good.
Like they do that at John and Vinny's, the restaurant in LA.
Do they?
Yeah. It's like
makes
their
sense.
Caesar. Yeah. The breadcrumbs on top. I think that's really yummy. It's really good if you like grill the romaine too. Mm. It wouldn't like put the breadcrumbs on top. I love that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start doing that because, you know, I always make my croutons, but that'd be kind of a fun alternative.
It sure is. Yeah. And then you can buy seasoned panko and then you don't have to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't have seasoned panko right now, but I thought I would just.
You can just use regular and season them yourself.
I was going to do the Paso Olivo spicy Italian blend.
Yeah, that would be good. Tell us about our guest today.
Well, Court, this is actually a first of a kind interview that we've had on Hey Sissy.
Oh, I love this interview so much.
These two women are sisters from another mister.
Mm-hmm.
And on this podcast, we don't necessarily abide by all the rules of family. We like to think that family comes in all sorts of different varieties, and it doesn't have to be blood related. And these two gals truly are sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about that on this podcast episode, and it's special and it's fun and hilarious. And I just enjoyed it so much.
And it reminded me so much of my bestie Ellie in Dallas, who, you know, we met in 6 years, first grade, just like these two girls. And we've gone through every single thing, every milestone together, you know, got married a few weeks apart, had kids a few weeks apart. We've done everything together. We slept at each other's houses every single weekend. And it was just like, we are sisters, you know?
Absolutely.
It's there are those relationships that are so intimate, so special, so much of a connection that they do become family, even though they're not blood related. And this is one of those cases. It's really cool.
Truly is. All right. Well, let's get into it.
Hey, sis.
Hey, sis.
So today I read a quote that said, "There are friends, there is family." Oh, I might cry.
Aww.
There are friends, there is family. And then there are friends that become family. And while we typically interview siblings about what it was like around their dinner table on this podcast, we think that it's very limiting because, as we know, siblings and families come in so many different forms. So today we're interviewing two best friends who consider each other sisters from another mister. Because they grew up together, they shared countless meals together, and they continue to share a sisterly bond into adulthood. We'd like to welcome friends and soul sisters Jamie Kelton and Casey Harless to Hey Sis, Eat This. Welcome, girls.
Yay! Happy to be here.
Thanks for having us. That was such a beautiful intro. I mean, you made me feel like all warm and fuzzy inside about my best friend.
I know.
Best friends make us feel warm and fuzzy. There's nothing better.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
They sure do. And this is a really unique interview for us because, as Courtney said, we really interview a lot of siblings, but it's also extremely appropriate because Jamie is the host of a wonderful podcast that we really love called the Queer Family Podcast, which explores all the different kinds of families that exist today. So Jamie, tell us a little bit more about Queer Family Podcast.
Well, it's the show all about family, but with gay.
Yeah.
That's the show in a nutshell. The mission is to uplift, highlight, normalize, celebrate LGBTQIA plus families in all of our whole identities. And so we are heading into season 15, been around for many years.
Congrats.
And it's just, I'm just trying to uplift and highlight queer families one interview at a time. And I keep it light and I keep it funny. And then we also tackle some serious topics.
Yeah. That's awesome. And we can certainly relate to that, Courtney, because yes, we became a proud and loving LGBTQ family in our 20s when our father came out at 55 years old. And I also have the privilege of having a wonderful stepdaughter who married her wife this year. So we are just celebrating all the LGBTQ up here.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, I can't wait. And y'all are coming on my show.
I know. Yes. I can't wait.
I'm really excited for that.
Well, Casey, we don't know you at all. Tell us a little bit about yourself in a nutshell.
For me personally, I live in a small western town called Jamestown up in Northern California. We live extremely close to Yosemite. We have like a little ranch with horses and goats and chickens and the whole dogs.
Love
and,
that.
Yeah, living the American dream. And me and my husband, we own two tattoo shops. So one's in Jamestown. Yeah, and one's in Pacifica.
How many tattoos do you have?
Okay, so that's a weird thing with tattooing. Like, if you have a lot of tattoos, you can't number them out because they all squish together.
I see, right.
She's covered in tattoos. Well, not as covered as Troy, your husband.
Yeah.
Troy do, could he do a dirty martini on my tushy or something? Because I think, both of us, we need that's our signature cocktail.
That would be super cute. We call those like popper pieces.
What do you call it? Like fluffer pieces?
Popper.
Oh, popper.
So like, it's either like a little dancing avocado or a taco or a martini, cute. You know, a lollipop, like different things.
I don't know, Whitney. I don't know. It's kind of been ruminating in my mind recently at my ripe old age, my tender age.
I'll do it if you do it.
Okay. We'll talk about it later.
I have no tattoos. That's how you can explain Casey and I.
Okay.
Oh, well, that is a perfect
the yin
segue.
And the yang. Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like too, at some point we should talk about how Jamie and I are like sisters. So I hope you guys are into like hearing the story of like how that happened.
It's all we're about.
That was my next question, is we want to know the origins. How did you two become besties?
Okay, so it's kind of a sad story at the beginning.
Okay.
But kind of funny.
Actually, and as all of our stories go, like they can all take kind of a dark turn. So we're going to have to preface anything with, do you want it to go dark or do you want us to keep it light?
Exactly.
We let it go wherever you guys want it to go. We've gone dark, you know, I go dark on a daily basis. I just, you know, it's just, it's life. It's called being a human.
Right. You're a mom. I get it.
Yeah. So basically like my mom passed away when I was like 7 years old, mm-hmm. 2 days before Christmas. And then nobody in the family wanted to take us, me and my brother. So my grandmother took us, my father's mother, and we moved to San Francisco and I had to go to a brand new school and everything. And so that's where I met Jamie. I think it was first grade. Was it first grade?
It was first grade. Whoa. It was first grade. And it's a dramatic story. Yeah. Because I was not feeling Casey. I was not okay. I did not like Casey at all.
Yeah. Well, Jamie was the popular, I don't know if you remember in like elementary school, there was like little cliques, you know, where you had like little five friends.
Always.
And it was like the leader of the group. Well, Jamie was the leader.
No, okay. Yeah. That sounds so much worse than it is, but you're probably somewhat right. Just to put my side into it. So me and my friend that I knew from nursery school had gone to the same school. We were in kindergarten together. Her name was Ariel. And then in first grade, we got separated. So I was separated from Ariel and it was really awful for me. It's so funny how you can remember so vividly these things, right?
Yes.
First grade. So I spent, you know, like the first half of first grade separated from Ariel. So sad. And I had other friends, like I guess Casey noticed. And then Casey came in, but Casey went into Ariel's class.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And then Ariel was like, there's this new girl. She's really nice. I like her. And I was like, no, you don't.
Oh, God, there were a lot of strong dynamics going on in elementary, in first grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, Casey's going to remember this time in her life because Casey had just gone through a lot, right?
Right.
7-year-old. But for me to remember all of this so vividly, you know that something like cataclysmic was happening.
Sure. Right?
And I feel like it's like the bond that ended up happening between the two of us. But the beginning of it was extremely tumultuous. And so I fought the friendship between Casey and Ariel. Like I was like trying to break them up. Then Ariel ended up moving. But there was one moment I remember. This is, I'm going to come off as such an asshole here. I was a little asshole, but I remember going to my group of friends and being like, this is so fucked up. Okay. You know, that girl, Casey. So I had noticed that she was kind of alone.
Yeah. For a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, well, I'm going to ask her to be our friend.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
And then I remember we went over to Casey and said, do you want to be our friend? And Casey was like, yeah. And then from that moment on, we became friends. Yeah. Do you remember that, Casey?
I do remember Jamie coming up again with her little clique. It was totally like a Nickelodeon, like Mean Girls move.
I'm seeing Regina George. Jamie is Regina George from Mean Girls. Casey is the Lindsay Lohan character. Yeah. But we're in second grade. Let's just put that in perspective.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Continue.
And then Jamie's, you know, of course, just like the movies, walking up, you know, with her little group of girls behind her. And she's like, okay, do you want to be my friend?
Oh,
yes. Aww, and I was so like, funny. Yes, I do. And then we just like, I don't know, we just bonded after that. Like it, like everything changed. And for me, it was a huge, like I was all alone. I was in a new school.
Yeah.
I was depressed. I, you know, I don't even really remember those things because you're like young and you kind of block those things out.
Sure.
But I do remember when Jamie finally came up to me, it was just like this amazing moment of the popular girl coming up. And then we just like hit it off from that point, you know?
Yeah.
It might have been like she was a little angel coming, you know, to you during this hard time and a devil. But, you know, you had just been through this trauma and to have this little girl come up and ask you to be your friend. Of course, it's going to be a vivid memory for you and special. That's really neat.
Oh, yeah. It changed my life.
It's interesting that I remember it so vividly because then after we became friends, I got to know Casey's story and I got to know what had gone on in her life and what was going on in her life, because you might learn as we continue talking about our lives together, Casey had a really rocky road growing
up. Right.
And so I guess that like, that was the foundation. And then we just got so close from there. And I just want to point out, I might've been popular in elementary school, but by middle school, the tides had turned. Am I right, Casey? And then I was like under Casey's wing looking for protection. So,
okay.
My heyday was first grade and that's sad.
Yeah. You peaked at first grade.
I peaked in first grade.
I hardly think that's a peak. I think that was just a turning point. Do you remember Jamie, Casey sharing with you that she'd lost her mom and what that must have felt like hearing that as a little kid?
I don't remember the exact moment or conversation. But I think that like the whole, I don't know, how do I explain it? Like the whole idea of trauma and things that Casey had gone through and continued to go through just kind of like painted the background of our bond so strongly, I think. And Casey quickly just kind of became part of my family. Like Casey is just always there. Once that relationship was formed, we were best friends. That was it.
Because you were raised by your grandmother, as you said, right, Casey? And so did you spend a ton of time at Jamie's house? Whose house were you hanging out at the most when y'all were little?
So there's a whole backstory of how my mom died and stuff too. Let's just say it's not like the most best story, you know, and obviously you die at 36 years old, right. You know, there was a lot of things going on with her. And so I was kind of, you know, messed up. And my grandmother was like, I don't know if you guys have like older family members that are like German. She was German. So she was very strict and super private. And so I really was not allowed to go to anybody else's house except Jamie's. Like she was, Jamie was like, and her family were like the golden family. Like that was it. So it was the one place that my grandmother, I could go and spend the night for as many days as I wanted. They, I could go on trips with you guys. My grandmother never had an issue, but like, she was the only one that my grandmother would let at my house and let me go to her house too. So, you know, that's how we became close.
Clearly your grandmother really trusted Jamie's family. And so you were able to kind of just be part of theirs.
Yeah. And, you know, living with my grandmother was very hard. She was very German, very strict. Jamie had the family dynamic that I didn't have. You know, like I live with my grandmother, my uncle. My uncle was developmentally disabled. And then I would go to Jamie's house and I just felt like a little bit of normal. You know, like going through what I went through with my mom was so traumatic and stuff, like going to like this perfect, to me, it was perfect, which probably to her, it wasn't perfect. But when you're coming from another situation and you go in there, I'm like, oh, a mom and a dad and a brother. And
yeah.
You know, like I felt like I was part of the family, you know, and they treated me that way too, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Casey was just like embraced in. Casey's like my mother's honorary daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It has been. Like, it just has always been that way. And to the point where like they would fight in high school. Like Casey would fight with my mother. Like there were rocky times because Casey was so much a part of the family.
But how cool that your mom loved Casey so much, like her own daughter, that she was able to discipline her and guide her and lead her, keep her off a path that maybe, you know, that we go on to in teenagers. Uh-oh. But no, listen, it sounds like she tried to be a mom to you. She was a mom to you.
Oh, totally. 100%.
Yeah.
I think 100%. She saw, you know, I think she saw what Casey's home life was like. And I'm not like, it wasn't her grandmother really stepped up and Betty did the best she knew how to do.
Sure.
100%. And it was hard for Casey. Casey had a hard time. And I think that like what you glazed over a little bit, Casey, is like, so when your grandmother took you in, your grandmother didn't really care for your mom. And so there was like a lot of drama regarding family dynamics. And it really kind of was like, oh, fine. If nobody's taking these children, I'm taking them. And it was always that way growing up for Casey. It was kind of just this like, I took you in and this is, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it was tough.
Not as nurturing as maybe.
Right. Yeah. And it was like, oh, you act just like your mother. You know, and my grandma, she was, you know, pretty much racist or whatever you call it back then. My mom was half Puerto Rican. I know it's uncomfortable to talk about these things these days. Because these days it's like you can't even comprehend like the difference between the generations. You know, she was born like 1909. So, you know, she didn't like my mother because she was half Puerto Rican and she didn't like me because I act like my mother.
Yeah.
It was very hard for me. And then when I went to Jamie's house, her mom was just like accepted me for me, you know, and she still does to this day. Like, even though I'm fucking crazy and stuff, like she still loves me so much. So I guess it's not like unconditional love, you know?
She tried to guide Casey. She did her best. That didn't happen. Like, that didn't work out. Yeah. Casey did what Casey wanted to do, which is the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Well, I think you mentioned several different aspects and characteristics of Mama Sue. That's your mama, Jamie. So tell us a little bit more, like what are some of those other standout characteristics that you would use to describe Mama Sue?
My mom is like just all love. Like she's a nurturer through and through. She's not the mom who's going to give you advice so much. I don't know. Casey might think it differently, but like anytime I call my mom, like, mom, I don't know what to do about the situation. Well, what do you think you should do? Mom, no, I'm asking you. Well, what do you think? No, mom. I want
just tell me.
I didn't have one of those parents who guided me in any direction. It was like, how are you feeling? What do you feel? Well, let's talk this through. Well, let's talk about. And so that's kind of like molded me, I think, into who I am as well. And like the kind of parent I am, although I think I'm a lot meaner than my mom.
By the way, she's ahead of her time, because that's what all the parenting books are saying now. They're, you know, you ask, well, how do you think you should solve this problem? Right. Or how do you feel about that? Which, like, our parents didn't. They tried to fix it. Our mom would be like, you need to do this. You can't do that. Don't call boys because you're a slut if you call boys on the phone. You know, that kind of advice, where it's like, your mom sounds like she was really, you know, kind of ahead of her time.
I guess. And also, I guess our household was a bit of a hippie household, mm-hmm. in a way, like in a backwards way. All my mom's best friends are hippies, but she's not a hippie, but she acts like a hippie. Right. I don't know. Am I explaining that right, Casey? Like, there was a lot of pot smoking in the house, not by my mom, by my dad.
Yeah.
But like, it's just all love.
You know, you guys talk about in your podcast with food and stuff, and like, I want to touch base on like food as far as Jamie's household and being kind of hippie Northern California.
Yeah.
My grandma was very like, you know, she's like, her heyday was like the 40s. So it's like meat and potatoes. And I go to Jamie's house and I'm like, let's eat some cereal. And they have freaking granola nuts.
Yes.
That is disgusting.
Right.
They had like couscous, granola nuts, like all this weird stuff, but that was totally them. Like,
yeah,
that's what I kind of, and it was ahead of its time. Like, now that's all really popular, but I remember it being so funny when I was younger. Like,
right,
what kind of food is this? You know?
You were exposed to two very different dinner tables growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't even talk about the fact that Casey's grandma was the lunch lady at school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We want to hear about Grandma Betty.
Yeah, we need to hear about this.
So I knew Betty before Casey, and Betty was
I knew her.
I was like, that's weird.
I knew Betty before I knew Casey. That's what I should say. And to me, Betty was like the scariest person in the world before I met Casey. Because for elementary school, for lunchtime, all the kids lined up outside the cafeteria to go in through Betty's kitchen area.
Uh-huh.
Grab your lunch and get right the hell out of there and go sit down at a table, right? And Betty would be there behind the counter. Move it along. What are you doing? Take the food. Let's go. Let's go. I don't know why you're taking so. You don't have extra money for chocolate milk. Please move it.
Oh my God.
Like, very, I'm not kidding, right? Yeah. Casey was a very drill sergeant. She was very strict. She kept very strict order in the cafeteria.
Wow.
Then when I found out that Betty was Casey's grandma, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, I was scared and also like slightly fascinated, because, you know, my experience of a mother was like a very nurturing thing. So I was like, ooh, to see like the nurturing side of Betty. Yeah.
Did you see the nurturing side
of
Betty?
Was there a nurturing side to Betty, Casey?
So yes, but it was very, so we don't hug or anything like that either. That's a whole German thing too. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no physical contact, but she would write these little notes to me, cause I slept in the same bed as my grandmother, mm-hmm. like, cause there was no room in the house. So I grew up sleeping in the bed with her, and she would put these little notes under my pillow, you know, where she would say that she loved me and stuff, but Aww. She never said it. She never said it.
God.
So it was kind of like a weird thing, you know, like, and that's where, again, like, I feel like Jamie's mom was the complete opposite. If you took my grandmother and Mama Sue, they're like complete opposites, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like part of the reason that I ended up being so like capable in society and pretty well, you know, mentally, mm-hmm. health-wise, mm-hmm. is because I did have that dynamic of the two. So I think one extreme of being too soft of a parent and one extreme of being like a German dictator. If you meet somewhere in the middle, I got the best of both worlds.
I had a question about Betty, though. Was she the cook at the cafeteria, or she was like the server? She served the lunch to the kids, or both?
So it was weird. They had like, you know, back then they had these lunches and they were kind of pre-made, but you had to heat them up in all these like oven type things. Yeah. And then they had like a cold and a hot pack. And
right. So I guess Whitney, when we were prepping for this, like, was she back there like making the sloppy joes? And
no. But it was totally like out of a movie. She wore like the hairnet and the little, outfit. And she had like these like homemade aprons that she used to wear and stuff. And she had the gray hair. It was totally like an Adam Sandler movie, like, here's a lunch, you know?
Yes. So one of our favorite skits is Adam Sandler's Lunch Lady Land. Yes. And Chris Farley plays the lunch lady. And he's got like the hairnet and he's got the like shoes. And they like put a big mole on him. And I was like, I wonder how
sloppy
similar.
Sloppy Joe's. Yeah.
How similar Grandma Betty was.
Oh, that was at Sloppy Joe's, right? Extra sloppy.
Yeah, yeah. Meatloaf sandwiches.
Yeah, it's kind of Betty. Betty was, Betty was a formidable force in the lunchroom, for sure.
Did she cook at home?
You know what's so weird is I don't remember much. I think I've sort of like blocked out a lot of things, you know, which I think now is normal. You know, you just, well, and I smoked a lot of weed at a young age. It could be that.
I think that, no, it's funny because when I was talking to Casey about, let's do this together, it'd be fun. You know, you were at my house so many times for dinner. I was at your house. And she was like, what? You were never at my house for dinner. I'm like, yes, I was. Like, all the time sitting there with you and Jim, and her brother Jason was never around because he was a teenager and he was a golden child.
Yeah.
And he didn't have the table with us. But yes.
Well, then maybe you should be telling us, Jamie, what was served by Grandma Betty.
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, definitely.
It was a strict table. And it was a little round table in the kitchen. And, you know, I do remember a lot of times it was left over from the lunch that day at school.
Oh, my
God. So you had to eat it twice?
Are you serious?
Yeah. You don't remember this?
No.
Yes. And it was like, the enchiladas were good. And when it was enchiladas, we'd be like, yes, it's enchiladas. You don't remember this at all. Yes.
I don't.
Yeah. And so she would heat them in the oven, the tins. Yes. Because they each came in their own separate like tins, like a TV dinner.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she would heat them in the tins and we ate and we would have that. And her uncle Jim was sitting in his chair across from us smoking because smoke like a chimney. We would eat. I feel like there was conversation. The TV was also always on.
So is ours, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So God bless this woman. She had kids to feed. She was older. She, you know, she already raised her own kids. She did, like you said, she did the best she could.
I do remember Casey used to get mad at me because I wasn't used to like, I was from a house where you were supposed to speak your mind and give your opinion and be argumentative. And I remember Casey, like after many dinners being like, why do you talk so much? My grandma's going to get mad at you. Why do you keep talking? Like, it's just listen. Like, let's just eat and go. I just remember that.
She's German and she's old. She's mean.
It didn't register with me, but that I should hold my tongue. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then we did the dishes at your house. Do you remember having to do the dishes?
No. I swear I've like blocked out so much from my childhood. You saying this right now, I can't even visually remember us doing that.
Why you need me in your life?
Fill in the blanks. What was the dinner table like at yours, Jamie? I mean, was it obviously lively conversation if you were all speaking your mind?
And healthy food.
Well, let me give you my perspective since she gave you her perspective. So definitely no TV. That's for sure.
Yeah.
No music, no nothing. Like I remember sitting in like it was like a kitchenette kind of area where the kitchen table was. It was off from the kitchen, but it was kind of like a cute little room.
Yeah.
And they always had maps everywhere, you know, because I feel like you guys were more like cultured and like, you know, I don't know, again, like Northern California. And I just remember sitting there and they would pry to me. They would be the opposite of what Jamie experienced, where they'd be like, so what's going on with you guys? How are you doing? How was your day? What are your interests? What do you feel like? Da, 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 da. And we're just sitting there like, can we just, for me at least, and probably Jamie too, we're like, can we just get back to playing video games?
Right, you know? Right. But Mama Sue wanted to know everything.
Oh yeah, everything.
My mother. Oh, that's okay. That's how you should describe my mother. Nosy AF.
Oh, definitely.
Does not stop.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's loving. She just wants to be a part of your life. She wants to know, you know, God bless her.
Yeah. Very nosy. Mama Sue is nosy. And I get that makes sense, Casey. Like there were a lot of, they wanted to know everything at the table.
Everything.
Yeah. And also dinner time in my house lasted at least an hour.
All right. Well, what were some of the standout dishes in your house growing up?
Ooh. So for me, again, going from, and now that you were on this podcast, I never really thought about the difference between the two of our experiences, but I think it's good that we did experience. So we have like my grandmother traditional lunches, and then I would go to Sue's and she would have like fish and like an organic salad. And this is before like organic. So I don't even think it was called organic, but you know, she had all the leafy greens and the special sauce and fish and you know, pasta and like squash and all these different, like, to me, it was like exotic and delicious. And Jamie hated it.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Oh yeah. She was a very picky eater, and she would like push her food to the side of the plate or put it under the table for the dog, you know, like, but, I remember the food being great. I mean, to this day, they came up and, spent some time up here at the ranch, and I just wanted one of Mama Sue's salads. She made the best salads, apples, and you know, just all the different mixed greens. It was just, she was ahead of her time with food for sure.
And yes, my mother is known for her salads, and there was always a salad on the table. That's true. There was one time she made tongue.
Oh,
I love the tongue. The tongue was so good.
Oh my God. Casey, I'm so excited you went after the tongue. Like that's, you know,
that's bold.
Oh, it was so gross. She'd have like, she would cook it, boil it, and then you'd walk in the kitchen, you know, and she'd have this gigantic tongue like this big, just sitting on the butcher block in the middle of the kitchen.
Oh my God. We definitely won't be putting that one on our website.
Yeah. But we need to get Mama's a salad from Mama Sue or one of her dishes.
The trick in her salads is her dressings. She makes like
homemade really dressing.
Dressings. And they're like Mama Sue's secret dressing.
She won't share. Mama Sue won't share her secret.
Well, she also is just like, I don't know. I put a little of this and then I put a little of that. And then she makes the dressing on the salad. She doesn't make the dressing ahead of time. Like she does it on the salad.
Oh, okay. Like traditional, like European style. A little vinegar, a little oil.
Yeah. And she just takes some salt and then some pepper and
spices. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Salad Sue.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we had a full-on four-course meal or more every single night at the table.
Wow.
Like it's impressive.
There was always, there were vegetables, there was a meat, there was a starch, there was, and the food got passed. Can you pass me the thing? It was kind of strict in that way. Mm-hmm. Like my dad was really strict about how you act at the table.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Manners.
Yeah. Manners. Manners were a big thing. And you had to sit and you had to stay until everybody finished their food. There were times that I hated having to sit at the table. Even when you were sick, you came down to the freaking dinner table.
Oh, you didn't get a TV tray in your bed like we did?
No, my mother would have done it, but my dad would not have allowed. No, you come. You come and you sit and you show face.
You spread that flu to the rest of us.
Yeah.
Right.
We've covered a lot of the younger years, but I want to get into those teenage years with you too.
So let's just say in middle school, there was one time. Okay, because raving happened like a high school and beyond.
Raving, like going to raves?
Oh yeah, we were ravers. Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And all the stuff that goes along with that.
Uh-huh. Yes, yeah.
All of that happened. Yes. We were in that scene. But before that, like middle school, Casey did things like way before your average person might try things out.
Like shave your legs or something like that?
Yeah. Like she pierced her own ears.
Pierced her own ears?
Yeah. What did you use? Like a paper clip?
Ooh.
Oh. There was a needle in a potato.
Yeah. And she burnt the needle and she's like piercing her. I'm like, Casey, I don't think we should be doing this. Oh my God. When you were living at your dad's house, you brought a stun gun to school. The old school kind that had like that you could see the prongs, brought it to school. I don't know what the teachers, I don't know what they were doing. But
did you stun anyone?
Yes, we it was like a game in the in the yard in seventh grade. Our school was like a prison.
Okay.
Yeah. It still looks like a prison.
It does. It's so scary. Once again, we were inner city kids, right? I don't know where the supervision was. And Casey's over there with the stun gun. We had a line of kids like, what? Oh, you got a stun. Lining up to get stunned. It was like a thing.
Oh my God. Did you get caught?
No.
Oh no, we never got caught for anything.
Never got caught for anything.
Dude, I can't.
Because this is back in the day when parents, I don't know what happened to parents, but they just...
Well, I know. I just didn't tell my mom. My mom's listening to this right now. Like, oh my God.
Oh my God. They were stunning people on the...
No. Yeah. Right. Here's a fun story. The paint marker story.
Oh yeah.
Which will go down in history for us for time and time. Because it's like a sitcom.
Okay.
So I'm not allowed to do much. And especially when it comes to like your body is beautiful just the way it is. You're just gorgeous. Meanwhile, Casey's over here, like dyeing her hair different colors, piercing her own freaking ears. You might have had a tattoo. I don't even know. Like, this is seventh grade, right?
Yeah.
So Casey comes over one day. It's after school, and Casey brought some hair dye with her.
Black.
Casey, you can't do that here. No, we can't have hair dye in the house. Casey, like begging Casey, no, let's not do this. This is not, what if my mom finds out? La, la, la. Casey goes in the bathroom and I think I was helping you. We like tried to dye your hair. And then all of a sudden I'm downstairs like grabbing a snack and Casey starts to scream. She's screaming. It started to burn your scalp. Oh, Casey. Goes running through the house with it.
Just running around. My hair's burning.
You know, and we're latchkey kids. My parents are working, you know, so we have the house to ourselves till it's dinner time, basically. Running around, like, the hair dye is flying all over.
Oh, no.
Oh, up and down the stairs, both levels.
Oh, no.
Through the kitchen.
So somehow we got the dye off of you. I don't remember. And then I think we noticed, holy shit, there is dye all. So I think we cleaned it up as best we could. Like we went around the house trying to figure out, like trying to find all the spots.
It didn't get like on carpet and stuff?
No, it was all hardwood.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, my dad didn't like carpet. He liked his bare feet on the floor. Can't be helped. I don't know.
I get it.
Okay, cut to dinner time. We're at the table. We're all
eating tongue
there.
And salad.
Right.
Okay, wait, I gotta stop you real quick. How did they not notice my hair was black?
That's what I was thinking. Gonna say. Jinx!
I didn't say anything.
I mean, at this point, my mother was like, oh, it's Casey there. Here's another version of Casey.
Yeah,
like,
she's changing her look, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, I couldn't do any of that, but Casey did, like, you know. And then my mother would have, like, a heart-to-heart with Casey here and there. And Casey would, oh, my God, Sue, whatever. You know? So, like, there was that dynamic. But conversation.
No, and we, wait. We knew that we were busted. So me and Jamie are sitting there just like siblings looking at each other, quiet, eating, like, are we in trouble?
Right. So then all of a sudden my mom is like, oh, by the way, what are these black marks I'm seeing on the walls? And there was one like right behind our head in the dining area. We looked.
Jeez.
And Casey and I, like, we were waiting for the moment. We were waiting. We knew it was going to happen. Casey and I, like, we had, like, it was such a sitcom moment. We looked at each other. Like, there was panic on each other's faces. And at the same time, we looked back at my mom. And one of us blurted out paint. The other one blurted out marker. Paint, marker. And my mom looks at us. And then Casey and I look at each other again, like, oh, shit. And then we each switched the words and said it again at the same time. Marker, paint. And my whole family's like looking at us like, what?
Oh my God. And Mama Sue's like, what's the story, girls?
No, she didn't even do that. I think we said it was paint markers.
Yeah.
Because that makes sense.
It's like marker paint, you know.
It's new, Mom.
Yeah,
it's
like that's the new literally thing. What we did. And we were laughing through it. And then like those marks were on the walls, I think, until the day my mom moved out of the house. Like, oh, they were wow. there forever. I would see them and just crack up because,
oh my gosh,
eight marker moment.
It's so funny to have that memory, to see that black spot every time you go home yes. and remember, you teenage idiots.
Such dummies.
Yeah, it was great.
Jamie, I want to ask you a question. When you came out, at what age were you, and how was that revealed to Casey? How did that go?
We're both like, I don't know.
I didn't come out until after college. Mm-hmm. I didn't come out till like I was like 22 or 23.
Okay.
And I was so afraid to come out. Honestly, it was such a hard thing for me mm-hmm. that I never actually said, I don't think I came out to people. I didn't come out to anyone. I came out to my mother, sort of. And then what I did with, I think what I did, and Casey, maybe you remember better than me, but I think what I did was just be like, oh yeah, I have a girlfriend now. Her name's Sarah. And that was it. Like, we never talked about it again.
I think it was when I got married and you were my best woman and you told me you had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
At that time. But remember, the thing is too, we grew up in San Francisco. So we're mm-hmm. like,
right.
I mean, exposed to gay people.
Yeah.
It was weird with Jamie being a lesbian because I felt like I never knew it, which like, how did I not know?
Right.
You know?
Because and I talk about this a lot when I like talk about my coming out, and like the reason it was so hard for me to come out was because like I showed no signs of it ever.
Right.
It was a shock to everyone.
How did Mama Sue handle when you came out?
Well, I thought that when I told my parents that I really like thought, oh, they'll probably like celebrate. They'll think it's cool. You know, because I was taught to be different. I was raised to be my own person. I was raised to go against the grain, literally,
right.
in every respect. They're going to be happy about it. It's going to be great. So it didn't go that way.
Yeah.
My mother was not excited about it, nor was she really happy about it. But she came around really quickly, mm-hmm. comparatively, and she's wonderful with it now. I mean, mm-hmm. she's my biggest ally and... Mm. will go to bat for me, you know, up and down, left and right. Mm-hmm. But when I first told her, and I didn't tell her I was gay, I said, you know, Sarah, who I've been spending so much time with, we're actually girlfriends. She's my girlfriend. I think I'm bisexual. I remember she was putting makeup on the mirror, which was a rare thing because she doesn't really wear makeup, mm-hmm. put the mascara down, and she went, huh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And then that was it. And then okay. it was really awkward and terrible. And I went in my room and I cried for a while. And then she came in the room and noticed that I had been crying. And I thought it would go different. I thought you would be excited. I didn't think you'd have a problem. And I think she said something to the effect of like, well, I think I just need time to process this. And of mm-hmm. course I love you. And there was a hug and the thing. And then it took a little bit of time, but now it's like, it's nothing, but it didn't go like I thought it would.
What did Grandma Betty say?
But you know what? She didn't really have a problem with gays.
No. Okay.
But she was born and raised San Franciscan, I guess.
Right, right.
We like to do rapid fires with our siblings.
Oh, God.
Boy. Okay.
Jamie, give us one word to describe Grandma Betty.
Strict.
Casey?
Oh my God, that's so hard. Traditional, I guess.
Casey, give us one word to describe Mama Sue.
I would either say sensitive or compassionate.
Okay. Jamie, do you have one word for Mama Sue?
Loving.
Yeah.
Jamie, what's one trait you get from Grandma Betty?
the drill sergeant in me.
So, Casey, what's one trait you get from Grandma Betty?
I would say strength.
Casey, what trait do you get from Mama Sue since she was so heavily involved in your life?
One trait I got from her is the ability to listen to people. Mm. It's a good thing to be able to be a good listener, where you can be quiet and you can listen and really be concerned about what people are saying.
Well, that's exactly what compassion is.
Yeah.
And you had described her as compassionate.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what I would say I learned from her for sure.
Jamie, what characteristic do you get from Mama Sue?
I get what Casey said, and the nurturer in me. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a nurturer.
Yeah.
And I think that comes directly from my mom.
And nosiness.
Yeah,
that's good.
Every time I see Jamie, she's like, what are you doing? What's going on? So how's it going? What's going on with you, Troy? How's your business?
Just a concerned friend.
And then also, no, but really.
No, yeah, right. No, tell me the truth.
Yeah, what's really going on?
What is happening over there?
Yeah. That's what best friends are for.
That is true.
Casey, what was Grandma Betty's favorite cuss word?
I don't know.
Was it something probably in German? God, we have a lot of jinxes today.
Oh, no, because she didn't want to let anyone know she was German. She thought she was Irish. Because she married my grandfather, who was Irish. And back then, Irish and Germans couldn't marry.
Right. Oh. She had to pretend to be Irish.
Yeah. So I told my grandma, I'm like, Grandma, you're not even Irish. Why are you Catholic? And she's like, honey, I'm Irish by injection. That's what she used to tell me.
That is not something I was thinking we would be hearing out of my Grandma Betty's mouth.
Oh, she had a mouth.
Oh my God, I'm crying. Grandma Betty.
But I don't think she swore, did she?
What'd she say? Oh, shut up. Did she do that?
I don't know. Does you look like a prostitute mean anything or no?
You look like a prostitute? Oh, I think every mom says that to their kid at some point.
My mom still says it.
Jamie, what was Mama Sue's favorite curse word?
My mom is not a big swearer. However, she will interject a good F-bomb here and there. Okay. Like, there was one time we had this like minor fender bender, and the word F-U-C-K came out. Like, if it comes out of her mouth, you're
it's
like,
emphatic. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but she'll drop a good F-bomb here and there.
That's good.
I love how I didn't say the word this time, but I've been swearing up a storm this whole interview.
I know. That's all right. We swear a lot on this interview.
We do.
It was so awesome to have you girls with us today. You sisters, you best friends. Thank you so much for sharing. This was beautiful.
Yes, thank you.
I hope you enjoyed taking this trip down memory lane with each other. Sounds like you've had such an incredibly colorful, adventurous life together. And we wish you years and years more of wonderful friendship.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Let's end it like we always do. Court, I love you. I love your show.
I love you. I love your show.
Thank you so much for listening to Hey Sis Eat This. If you LOL'd, peed your pants a little bit, or even smirked, please hit subscribe and feel free to rate and review, but only if it's positive.
Also, visit our website for recipes and to sign up for our newsletter at heysiseatthis.com. And don't forget to call into the Hey Sis hotline at 866-4-HEY-SIS with funny mama stories or kitchen conundrums of your own.